Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Biggest opponent, strongest, and it was a big win for me tonight.
Mario Batista!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
I'm going to get should I get my cans? I got cans right there.
Oh, I'd love to. I grew cans over the pandemic.
Can I be a professional? Can I just try to sound professional?
Yes, get your cans. And we have two guests today. We have wakeboarder Rusty Malinowski. I'm not familiar with wakeboarding. I know it's popular. And of course, bantamweight Mario Batista. Very, very impressive sub over Brian Kelleher on Saturday night.
Oh my God. He looked, Mario, he looked like you're a man on a mission. And wait, what is wakeboarding?
We'll have to ask our guests because I'm not sure. It's something with the water. I would like to ask you too, Matus over Sarukian, very, very close fight. Before we bring in our guest, Matt, did you agree with the decision?
Sarukian! I love saying it. you could either say it was very close, but holy shit, man. Where did these guys come from? I would like to see. They're both lightweight. It's lightweight. It was a lightweight
match. Yeah.
Imagine, though. I mean, I know it's weird because they're kind of still green, but I would like to see one of those guys fight fucking Habib. Both of their wrestling defense was wild. Jimmy, they weren't able to hold each other down. But that's what made the difference in rounds 4 and 5. First of all, what a fight. What a fucking fight.
Sarukian wasn't having incredible luck with his punches, but those kicks, that fucking kick, whenever Gamrot would switch to southpaw, was devastating. That heavy, heavy body kick, which he landed, about 800 of. I thought that was by far the best thing he was doing during the fight.
I liked how Gamrot.
Gamrot,
I like how he kept trying to take him down with that single leg, but the balance of the balance of Sarukian was just amazing with
it's
one
crazy.
Leg.
Like a fucking
ostrich.
I was
like, what am I looking at?
I know.
So I think he he was confused at the end. He thought he won. And I can see how they could give him maybe 3 rounds to 2.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you cannot say that was a robbery by all means. That was very close.
I think it all came out of the third round.
Wow, the Grammy rolls. Some of the rolls to get out of these, the body locks and stuff was so wild. It was really, I was like, who is going to get tired first? And I think Gamrot was a little bit of fresher towards the end.
Yep.
But hey, man, these guys are both a handful for anybody. I mean, neither one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, wanted to back down, and I can't wait to watch both of them fighting it.
Yeah, although I think Oliveira, I think Oliveira beats either guy, at least at this point.
Well, I know what I would like. I don't think that Gamrot would, I don't think he'd be afraid to take him down. That's what That's what I want to see.
Let's bring in Rusty Malinowski. Our guest is waiting in the He is a professional wakeboarder. Now, I don't understand what this means. He's the first athlete to successfully land a 1080 degree in a wakeboard competition. Ooh. That changed the sport. So I'm going to ask Rusty what exactly that means, because I am not at all athletic and I don't know anything about wakeboard.
It might be like the triple Lindy from, you remember the triple Lindy?
I do, yes, from back to school.
Ah, we're just showing our age.
Hey, Rusty, how you doing, man?
Doing great. How are you guys?
How are you, Rusty? Rusty, do you train also? Because I'll tell you, you look the part of a fighter.
Well, I've heard that before. I don't so much anymore. I obviously trained throughout my whole career for wakeboarding, but just, you know, I'm 6 foot, 210 and stay in good shape. So I guess I do fit the part.
Now, this is going to sound like a moronic question. You know, like if somebody came up to me and goes, what's jiu-jitsu? I go, all right, you're not a moron. You just don't know. I'm not going to tap them. But what the fuck is wakeboarding? It's not like, it's like boogie boarding. I don't want to offend you, bro. I know it's not straight up surfing.
Right. No, wakeboarding is just, I mean, you're behind the boat. Your feet are strapped to the board.
Oh.
You're about 80 feet back. The rope length's about 80 feet. And we're doing flips, spins, and yeah, going really big in the air.
What is a 1080 degree? What 1080 degree? What exactly is that?
360s. So it was a trick that I've been working on for a really long time, and finally was able to pull it off in competition. So I was the first to do that, and it was a big moment for our sport and for me. So it was pretty exciting day.
Now wakeboarding. I'm sorry. It came from, what's the one with the two skis? What's the fucking water ski? Correct.
Water ski.
It like came, it's the birth from that, right? Like,
yeah, obviously people back in the day, barefoot, water skiing, kneeboarding, all that kind of stuff. And back in the day, some guys had a great idea to stand sideways on a board. And here we are today, basically a lot like snowboarding, the same stance and whatnot, but you're hanging on behind the boat.
Do you snowboard also or no?
I did when I was younger. I grew up in Canada and made the move to Florida as I transitioned into trying to be a professional wakeboarder. But I did spend some time on a snowboarder when I was younger.
Now you jump, they'll pull you and then there's a ramp in the water.
No, you actually just the boat actually creates the big wake and you smoke the wake and go as big as you want to go. I love hitting double ups. It's when the boat turns around and comes back into its own wakes and it creates basically two times the size of wake, and you can go upwards of 20 feet in the air. So
is wake like a wave from the boat? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Wait. Well, the wake of the boat is your ramp.
Oh, wakeboarding. Okay. That's how dumb I am. I didn't realize
Jimmy,
that. Here's my question.
What's the matter with you?
It's pulling you. You're about 80 feet behind it. Don't you lose momentum when it turns around and comes back? Because then the direction has changed of the pull. How do you keep your momentum going?
Well, when you got a quick second, just, go online and check it out. It'll make a lot more sense when you see it.
yeah,
but
course.
I mean, like if the boat turns around and comes back at you, the momentum is still pulling.
You're always behind the boat. You're always being pulled behind the boat.
Okay. That's what a fucking idiot I am. I thought that when the boat turns around, you were still coming towards that didn't make, and you were going to hit the wake at a second time.
No.
Okay.
It's basically the boat does a U-turn.
That makes perfect sense. Okay.
So how did you become buddies with Donald Cerrone? I heard you're good friends with him.
Yeah. Cowboy was, I believe he was at the Colorado boat show in the wintertime. It's where they have all the manufacturers throughout, you know, all over the U.S. in the wintertime trade show, basically. And he was in there checking some boats out or whatnot and got talking with some people that I know. And they said, my buddy's Rusty's really into the UFC, loves watching all that. And I don't know how it happened. All of a sudden, I got a text from someone saying Cowboy wanted to come out and wakeboard. And I got his number. I called him. And literally the next day, he flew to Florida and came and stayed with me. And we've been buddies ever since. And he loves wakeboarding. And as you know, he loves doing basically anything. So it's been a long time. And bonus for me, I got to go to pretty much all of his fights. And for the earlier part of our friendship was like, he was on the most stacked cards, like multiple Conor fights. And
Your
boy, Al Quinta. I was
there. Oh, shit. That was an upsetting one. Yeah, he's a great man.
He just loves. He seems like a guy who loves. Like, I'm always fascinated with his flying videos. Like, he's shown us videos of himself in a plane and kind of just going up and dropping. He just loves, it seems like, anything new that could potentially be dangerous, he seems to love.
Yeah, for you or I, we'll never experience the feeling like Cowboy or Matt experiences walking to a cage and
right.
fighting in front of millions. So I think he chases the next closest thing to that adrenaline that
right.
you get putting yourself, so exposing yourself in front of the world and fighting, you know.
How hard could you get wakeboarding? I mean, I know it seems fun, but I'm sure it's very dangerous too.
A lot of guys suffer lots of knee injuries, torn ACLs, shoulders and back, but I've been very fortunate with not blowing my knees or anything like that.
You're depressing me. Yo, I'm getting a new knee tomorrow, bro. Not to depress you. I know, man. I got to wear and tear over the years. We're, you know, so I don't know. That just depressed me. But hey, fuck, I'll be back.
No, you should be happy, man. I'm glad you're doing it. It's about time.
Jimmy, I'm just saying, I rolled yesterday and I was fucking feeling so goddamn good. I was just like on fire. I was ripping Camorras. I was fucking getting nice.
What weight class would you be now?
Oh, I'm around 195. Look at you about to make a fat joke. How dare you? I'm only kidding. I'm only fucking around. But but listen, I just met you. I'm not going to show you my abs now. But
God damn it.
Is that a bat suit? What the fuck is that?
He was showing me. You just happened to see it. He was showing.
I'm like 195 now. I feel good, but both my knees are fucked, bro, from training. You know, wakeboarding's out for me. When they put a new knee in, they don't even have an ACL, which is so odd. I'm gonna have like a Terminator leg. But anyway, they're confident that I'll be back to rolling and Camorra. And
if you're ever in the Florida or Orlando area and you want to try wakeboarding, please let me know. I'd love.
With my new knee? You said number one thing is the knee problems.
Well, start you slow. Take it easy.
Let me ask you, being a friend, I appreciate the offer, though. You're friends with Cowboy. Have you seen his new movie, Terror on the Prairie, with Gina Gina Carano?
I have not. I was on a week-long photo shoot, and I flew to, Austin? No, Austin, yeah. For when he was supposed to fight Joe again. So I've been on the road, and I haven't had a chance to sit down and watch it, but...
Guys get into movies, Jimmy. How the fuck did I seen him? He was with Post Malone and Mark Wahlberg and Spencer Confidential, which is a fucking underrated movie. It's on Netflix. It's a lot of fun. It's with Mark Wahlberg and he's it's a good movie. It's a good movie. I don't know him yet. But he was in that. And now he's really stretching his acting ability and playing a cowboy. No, I'm like, he's a fucking cowboy. So give me that on for him. Kidding me?
It's probably because they take fighters, a lot of the guys that are well-known and well-liked. Like, people know that everybody loves Cowboy, so they figure, well, he's a guy that everybody likes and would want to see, and then he does a good job, and they're like, why? And plus, you don't have to train them with a lot of the movement you need, I'm sure. You know, I'm sure when fighters are doing fight scenes, I mean, the hardest part for you guys is just how to make it look a certain way on camera. You can already do everything else.
So you're saying any day Hollywood will be calling me?
I'm saying they probably called you already. You just didn't get the message. I'm sure they reached out already.
I don't get a lot of messages. So, hey, what's the shelf life with this kind of sport? Like, how long are you doing? How old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 38 years old, and I've been professional since I was about 20. So there's only a few of us that have had that length of a career. Myself and a couple other guys, but as far as the, you know, I've two-time world champion, I've won lots of events and done lots of great things, but this is kind of the fun part for me. Now I get to kind of hang out ambassador and still, be sharp on the water, but yet kind of not that, competitive, pressure that I was so used to for so long.
Able to do it? Are people able to do this like in a non-competitive way? Is wakeboarding always where you have to like hop over, or could you just kind of go out and lazily get pulled around and just enjoy that?
Yeah, for sure. And that's how it starts for everyone. It's very, I mean, at slow speeds and, you know, while you're learning, the impact isn't near as awful as it can be once you start to progress and get into the harder tricks and whatnot. But very, very easy for people to learn for the first time, get up and kind of cruise around and most people end up falling in love with it and then progressing. And that's when some of the harder slams come as you're progressing, like anything, though.
I would love to see Jimmy on there.
I would too. If I lose 15 pounds, so I don't look like just a fucking tub of shit, I'll go on one. I'm just too embarrassed to be shirtless anywhere. Unless I can wear like a fucking winter coat.
You're on Matt's program.
I know. Matt looks great. It's infuriating. Do you ever do the, what's that? The kite surfing? Is that where they pull you and you windsurfing, whatever they call it?
I personally haven't. I have a couple of buddies that are really into it. Very challenging and hard to figure out. But I guess once you figure it out, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it looks dangerous.
A little bit sketchy, I would say. You get caught in the wind and not have control of that kite. You could go for a ride.
Oh, yeah.
And now, are you content with your wakeboarding? Or are you like cowboy and you're like, I'm an adrenaline junkie. I need something else. I need a fix. Or are you just... You're good with your wakeboarding. I mean, is that enough for you?
I still love, I was out in the boat already today. I love the lifestyle. I have two boys. They're into all kinds of sports. We spend time on the boat as a family.
Nice.
It's more of a lifestyle thing for me. I really enjoy it, but I'm still very active and, you know, I like to ride my motorcycles and do all kinds of other things that potentially could lead to injury, but you know, I'm still moving and having fun and I'm not scared to try anything. So once anyways,
what have you tried that you hated or that you weren't good at? And you're like, no more.
Oh yeah. Have you ever, ran more than like 2 or 3 miles?
Yeah. No, I've never gotten that far. So yeah, I can see why somebody would hate that.
I hate doing cardio. I hate running.
You ever do that Versa climber? I always ask Matt about that. I'm fascinated with that Versa. There's nothing worse than that fucking Versa climber.
No, I do CrossFit in the state of Florida. It's 100 degrees and 100% humidity. So it doesn't get much worse than that.
Yeah, that's pretty horrible. Now, do you have to run 2 or 3 miles when you CrossFit or no?
That's entirely up to you. But we have, yes.
Isn't that when you're doing it with a group of people and someone's yelling, Nack, you can do it? Like where there's just a bunch of people in a row kind of helping you out?
Yeah, there's lots of goofy things that go on in CrossFit, and but it is a hell of a way to get in shape.
It's amazing. Yeah, it just seems difficult because you got a bunch of people doing it, and everybody's like kind of cheering for you to do it. But it's like they move quick; like you go from one thing to the other fast, don't you?
It's very intense. Yeah, it's you could get a lot done in about 45 minutes.
Some people love, and they love running. Some people love it. Like Michael Bisping, who I bring up a lot lately, only because he's a guy I look to and it inspires me because he got both his knees done.
And he's happy.
And he's younger than me. And I was with him when he couldn't walk. So I'm happy I see that, the light at the end of the tunnel, even though I'm going to go through some shit. And Bisping's doing everything again. But Bisping, he likes to run. Now, he got his knees done. He couldn't walk. Now he could run, and he's running. So I'm like, dude, are you supposed to do that? Is that like recommended? Because he goes, look, the way I look at it, it's got a 35 to 25 year shelf life, whatever it is. I'll get mine done at 19 again, something like that. So he's going to live the way he likes to live. But my thing is, why the fuck do you want to run, man? Jump on an elliptical at least. Go a little softer on him, right? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, to each their own. Listen, you're talking to a guy who had how many fights with one eye. So what am I?
His documentary or movie? What was it called?
I think it's called Bisping, isn't it? I got to watch that. Where would I watch that?
Being Bisping?
Yeah.
That was incredible. That was so insanely incredible. That was inspiring. You should watch it. It's awesome.
Hey, producers, type up where I can watch that. I'm telling my producers. Because I'm going to be a fucking peg leg. And I'm going to be watching. I want to eat all the shit I could watch. All the material.
It'll get you pumped up.
What are you watching? I'm going to watch that. Are you watching anything else on Netflix? Are you watching any series or anything with the missus? What are you watching?
To be completely honest, every day when I go to bed, I put on YouTube and I watch fight news.
Do you?
You do.
I love that sport so much. It's like, I love it. It's every single night I watch whatever pops up. And
who's some of your favorites now, besides Donald, who's obviously, you know.
I mean, I'm excited for this. This coming weekend, Adesanya, that's going to be incredible. I can't wait to see Max. I have a huge list of great fighters that I just think are incredible. But I'm, you know, Iceman Chuck Liddell. He was like my very first person that I was like thought was the best best guy ever. Obviously, still think he's amazing.
Yeah, man. Why the hell did he have to give Tito the fifth shot at him? Oh, he knocked him out. He beat him up like two or three times. And he's like, all right, I'll fight you again at fucking 55. And
of course, he wouldn't have done that.
I mean, you give that fucking guy a chance. But then to make you feel better, you watch Tito box Anderson Silva. You see how that goes.
That was good, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt bad. I think Chuck just wanted some money. And even though it counts, it does. It's like we all know how those fights would happen when they were both in kind of in fighting shape at younger years, you know.
I know, but I love like the vintage Chuck Liddell footage where he's just like when he beat Tito, I think the second or the last time he beat Tito, where he threw like 300 punches in that one. It's incredible. Who knows why he fought him again, but. It's that definitely wasn't the Chuck Liddell of old.
No, and yeah. I love Chuck, but people felt bad for him. I didn't feel bad for him. Like he's kicked Tito's ass a couple of times. So, you know, all right, Tito got him. Like it happens. I didn't feel bad for him. I just hope he didn't get hurt. Like you just don't want to see somebody get fucked up after a certain age.
For sure. For sure.
What do you think about the fight? Cannonier or Adesanya? That I was thinking about that today, and it's kind of hard to pick against Adesanya against anybody.
I agree with you. Obviously, he's got all the pressure because he's supposed to win. So as long as he's focused and does what he does, I would say he should win, but you never know. Cannonier's like insane.
He is. He's coming. He's coming, man.
He's 38, which is oldish, but he's like so in such good shape and looks incredible. I mean, I don't think that'll affect anything, but he's got everything to gain. So he's got zero pressure.
Who's the co-main event? Who's the co-main event on that card?
It's Volkanovski Holloway.
Oh, hey, listen. The last time I was there in Abu Dhabi when they fought, and I love Volkanovski. I do.
Did you think Max won the second round?
I remember being there live saying, all right, Max won. He won enough.
Yeah. Even Dana said, didn't he say, sorry, Matt, didn't Dana say, does anybody think that Alexander won that fight? Like, I think everyone believed Max won that fight. I thought Max won the first one.
It was
but
awesome.
I could just be a Max stan.
Yeah, it was very close. The first one, the second one, I think Max won as well. But.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, it's easier to judge from home, but I thought that he should have got the nod. Strickland against Alex Pereira, that's an incredible fight too.
Strickland's so crazy.
Yeah.
I follow him just because I kind of like that he doesn't hold back. You know, nowadays you can't say anything without people jumping down your throat, and he just lays it out there, which I personally think is funny. So
he definitely didn't get no memo about keeping things to himself. He likes to, you know, to get a little wild.
Very honest, very
he's
truthful.
Very
guy.
Honest,
very
and
honest.
He likes to spar hard. He likes to fight hard, and that's who he is. You know, he doesn't try to be anybody different. So I think he's very interesting.
Yeah,
I like watching him fight. You know,
and what do you guys think too? Since we're talking about it, Munoz against O'Malley is the opening fight on the main card. What a great fight that is!
I got O'Malley. I think I'm a fan of O'Malley. I think he's doing it right. He's got flavor. He's blowing up the way, you know, not everyone has that personality, but I think he's doing a good job, and I'd love to see him get the victory.
Could Pedro get a hold of him? I think Pedro will add in some takedowns. I think so. And he's got a hell of a right hand, but I mean, Sean is O'Malley's so accurate. Yeah, O'Malley's something else. O'Malley's got that little, he's got that star power in him. He's got one of those things where that kid can't help but be a star. He's just, when he talks, he has that swag, he has the look, and he has the skills to back it up, man. I'm dying to see him and Chito Vera go at it again.
Remember when he fought that late replacement? What was that kid's name with the green hair?
I don't know, but that kid, I don't know. That kid's name should be Zombie, though.
He was fucking good, though. He was really tough.
Insane, though. That was like the craziest fight.
That's insane. But the kid like that, he'll have some fights like that, but that'll take a toll on
Chris Moutinho.
Yeah.
That kid blew up after that fight, as he should have, but he took a lot of damage for his first UFC fight. The kid didn't even want to stop. Remember, the ref stopped it.
Oh, 100%. Hey, is that your house where I'm looking at right there, Rusty?
Yeah, in the back.
That's beautiful. And I was going to say, I knew you were Florida because of the enclosement there. The you don't want no alligators getting into your swimming pool, do you? Is that what's going on? Is that what I'm looking at?
We got quite a few of them in the lake back there, but we were just down there last week. We were messing around on the jet skis and my son started fishing and a gator came up, and then I looked over, there was another one. There was two of them like right out the dock.
Now wait, you go in a jet ski. Hold the sec. Wait a minute. You're jet skiing in a lake with fucking alligators in it?
There's so many gators in there, right there. There's gators every time we wakeboard in here around what? Here.
There's, wait, yeah. You wakeboard with alligators in the water?
100%.
But what about when you fall off? Aren't they in there?
Yeah, I mean, nothing's ever happened, but
ever?
Yeah, I mean, not that I know of. I mean, there's people that have been attacked, but no one I know personally.
Bah! Yeah. Fuck!
Snakes, gators.
Jimmy! Stop.
Crocodiles, too?
Not around here.
Oh, there's not? Okay.
They're more saltwater.
An alligator's not big enough for you to bite your fucking toes?
No. I think crocodiles are more aggressive. They're both awful, but crocodiles, I think, are a little more aggressive.
Yeah, they're like crazier looking too. They're even nastier looking.
So you guys don't go swimming in there? Like, you guys swim in there?
Yeah, like see the trampoline and dock? Yeah.
But like, all right, man, I don't know. I've always been freaked out by that shit. When I was a kid, I saw a movie called Alligator, or this big thing in a sewer. And I think I've been scarred ever since.
Well, I grew up in Canada where we don't have anything. In Saskatchewan, where it's freezing cold almost all year long. And we don't got anything to worry about in the water. And then I came to Florida, and I still, when I fall and I'm waiting for the boat to pick me up, I still think about it.
You do, right?
I mean, it's hard not to. Yeah.
God damn, man. I'm happy I'm not trying it, but I admire you for doing it. I didn't realize you were doing it with alligators in the water.
See, you think that's crazy, and I think what you did for a living is pretty crazy too. So.
Oh, fighting is so much fun if you like it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
I always say that people that don't like, I guess, or fully comprehend what it would take as an athlete to train that long, the nerves, the pressure.
Yeah. And I get it.
Get in the cage. And then like, I think that being a top level fighter is the hardest, craziest sport ever. I mean, it's just insane. Shit, man.
Well, yeah. Like Jimmy says, I can't sing or dance. Well, I can't sing. So,
Of course you can. You can do it all.
Well, thank you. Listen, this is fun. Oh, shit. It's 2:36.
Yeah, we have our next guest is waiting. Rusty. Yeah, that's okay. It was a fun conversation. I want to promote your Instagram, too.
Yes.
It's Rusty Malinowski, Malinowski on Instagram. And it was good talking to you, man. If we didn't have another guest, we'd hang longer. So definitely come back if you want.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you guys very much. And I don't know if Dana told you guys yet, but I'm going to be starting internship next week. Security.
Oh, what do you mean?
You doing security?
He didn't tell you?
No.
No. Something happened? Oh, by the way, I'm following you now. Go ahead. Thank you. But go ahead. Say again. Something happened with security. Did you have to keep somebody?
No, I'm just kidding, but I would love to work with Dana someday.
I work with him, but not in a security. He wouldn't trust me with the security. I would love to do it just to hang out with him.
Coolest guy ever.
Yeah, all right. Good talking to you, Rusty. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Neds, the official wagering partner of the UFC in Australia. Aussie fight fans, keep an eye out for this weekend's UFC pay-per-view event as Neds offers a split decision return. This means if you place a head-to-head bet on any main card fight and your pick loses by split decision, Neds will pay you out as a winner. Plus, you can pump up your odds with a UFC multi simply by combining your favorite markets across all fights on the card. The action doesn't stop with UFC. Neds has everything you need to take it to the Neds level, regardless of what you bet on. For those sports punters, Neds Same Game Multi is now available on more sports than ever before. And for the racing fanatics, Neds Blended is available on all three racing codes. Blended lets you pick multiple runners to win in the same race at special blended odds. It's never been easier for you to be paid out as a winner. Look, whatever you bet on, Take it to the Neds level. UFC markets exclude South Australian residents. Split decision return eligible on first $250 staked. Minimum blended odds are $1.10. Terms and conditions apply are available on the Neds website. Remember to always gamble responsibly. Please call 1-800-858-858. This episode of UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Crypto.com, the official crypto partner of UFC. You've definitely seen their logo on our UFC gear, and crypto is something I'm getting into, so this is really a helpful, helpful site. With over 10 million users around the world, Crypto.com is the fastest growing crypto app, letting you easily buy and sell more than 150 cryptocurrencies. You can even buy Bitcoin with as little as $1. Crypto.com also offers the most popular crypto card in the world. The Crypto.com Visa card offers up to 8% back on most purchases, and it comes with amazing perks. 100% rebate for your Netflix, Spotify, and Amazon Prime subscriptions. If you already own some crypto, did you know that Crypto.com offers some of the most competitive reward rates of the industry? You can get up to 8.5% on your Bitcoin or Ethereum, 12% on your USDC, and more. Find out how much you can earn by visiting Crypto.com. Get $25 when you apply for a Crypto.com metal Visa card on the Crypto.com app using code UFC25. Again, it's $25 when you apply for the card using code UFC25. It's first come, first serve, so act fast. Download the Crypto.com app now on the App Store or Google Play.
Oh, what's up, guys?
Hey,
what's
how you
up,
doing, man?
Mario?
Doing pretty good.
Congratulations, man. Congratulations. You got to be on cloud nine, man. You handled some business the other night.
Oh yeah, it was awesome, man. It was a good fight.
Now, I noticed you were prepared. Anytime he would look for your neck for that guillotine, and he has a hell of a guillotine, Brian Kelleher, you were very prepared for that. You were clearing those legs every time. So he was basically at that point just pulling you on top, and he had to abandon it. How much did you prepare for that guillotine of his?
Oh, we prepared a lot for it. You know, working with John, that was one of his main things, you know, not a gimmick, but like one of his strengths. You know, he catches a lot of people with it, and he's very good with it. So I was working a lot on it.
That's John Wood. Where is who are you trying? John?
John Crouch. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, John Crouch.
Yeah, and you were saying that you thought Herb let it go a little longer than it should have when he was tapping. I watched it again a couple of times. It was almost like, was he tapping the whole time, or did he miss at first? I couldn't tell if he was actually tapping or coming close to it, not actually doing it.
I look back at it, and he tapped three separate times. On third time, that's when Herb called it. But, you know, I do a lot of jujitsu here at class. You know, if someone taps three separate times, you know, they're one of two things. They're not going to roll with you again, or they're going to get up and say something, or maybe slap you across the face, you know. So it's just, I'm just a good sport. You know, if you're going to tap three times, I kind of feel bad if it's coming, you know, third time. It's like, come on, Herb, you got to see it.
No, I hear you, man. I hear you, dude. He's making you work for your money right there, Herb Dean. Mario, now, your first time on here. I want to get to know you a little bit. Where are you coming from? Where'd you grow up? And what's the first discipline you started with, buddy?
I'm originally from northern Nevada. It's a small town called Winnemucca. It's a mining town. So there's about 10,000 people there. First discipline, I would say boxing, but I never competed. So I really love boxing. My family really loved boxing. Got into high school, started wrestling, wrestled all 4 years. And then out of high school, I started doing jiu-jitsu. And man, I just fell in love with that. And then like 2 months later, I took my first amateur fight. And that's pretty much how I got started.
You're a black belt in jiu-jitsu?
Brown belt.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, man, your shit was on point the other night. That it was a game of catch up for Brian. He couldn't catch up to your ground game. It was so on point. So you started with the striking. I'll tell you, very well rounded, very, very interesting. So when was your first pro fight? Was when? How old were you? Or amateur fight? Either one.
Oh, amateur. I think as soon as I turned 18, I think that was the law. I think you take your first amateur. So I think it was 4 months after I turned 18. I took my first one.
How'd that feel?
Oh, it was awesome. You know, walking up a small little gymnasium, walking up, seeing the cage, and just everyone in the bleachers. It was pretty cool. I can still remember it. It was pretty awesome.
And I wanted to ask you too, because I know your two teammates, O'Malley and Cannoneer, are fighting. We're just talking about Jared, who we all love. It's very hard to pick anyone over Israel Adesanya because of how good he is, looks against every style, except for Blachowicz, who is obviously heavier. What do you think Cannonier has to do? Because again, Adesanya has fought guys who are great strikers before, and he always seems to be a step ahead.
I think he's be himself. You know, Jared's really strong minded. You know, I don't think he's going to get caught up in the moment. And, you know, he has the power, you know, he has the power to, you know, change anything like on a dime. So he needs to go out there, close a distance, I believe, because, you know, Adesanya likes to peck around out there. So I think close a distance and put that power on him.
Has anybody managed to do that to him? Been able to kind of close it and really pound him up against the fence? I'm sure it's happened. I just can't think of an instance where he seemed like he was in trouble up against the fence from being power punched.
I would say like his closest fight where I would say against Kelvin.
Oh yeah.
You know, getting touched up a little bit. And you know what? Jared's reach is kind of deceiving. You know, he'll hit you from pretty far away. He got some long arms. That's for sure.
I think everyone is happy for him too. Like everyone likes Cannonier and they liked how well he's been fighting. I'm not sure how many fights he's won in a row. I want to say six, but I could be wrong about that.
I want to say he's like 4-1 in the middleweight division.
Is he 4-1? Okay. I'm sure you're right.
You know what I'm thinking of? It was Cannonier. I'm thinking of, it was Aljo and it was Patty the Batty and Meatball McCann. And they were just acting a fool on camera and they're all like wilding out. Ah! And you see Cannonier just looking, they're all around him. And he's just like, and I think I don't want to misquote him, but he's like, yeah, I'm not part of the circus over here. I'm not part of the fucking, like, they're all fucking, they're having a good time. But he's just, he's chill, man. He's a cool cat, Jimmy.
He's won two in a row. Yes, I'm so stupid. He has won. His loss was to Whitaker, and it was a decision. It was a good fight.
Can I add, and, you know, I'm sure Mario knows this, when he fought Whitaker during that fight, man, he got kicked. He had a bruised ulna nerve. And I don't know if you're familiar with that, Mario, with him, but he hurt his elbow, and I know what it's like to have a hurt ulna nerve. It's like if you ever get like a dead arm or get your phony bone and you can't feel your fingers, that's what it's like. But to the worst degree of it. It was just.
It actually broke his arm.
Oh, did it break his arm?
Ooh, yeah, it did. What round was that? He had to get surgery for it. The first round, I think it was the first kick Whitaker threw, and he blocked it, and it broke his arm, and he went off, what, five rounds? Was it a five-round fight?
There you go, man. It's not, and you can't be like, start over. That is what it is. He's a tough son of a gun, man. And he knows at his age that this is an opportunity that he's
38, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's up there. Yeah.
You know, now let me ask you, you know, your debut with, listen, you're not going to ask for, there's no easy fights in the UFC, but it was the Corey Sandhagen in 2019. You know, again, it's a few years ago and you got caught in an armbar. You were 6-0 coming into the organization. What did we learn from that? And listen, again, quality opponent, can't ask for a tougher opponent. Any kind of first time jitters? What was it like? What was that whole experience like?
You know, looking back at it, because I feel a lot more comfortable in the cage now. Yes. I think I did have some jitters, you know, and, you know, and like you said, Sandhagen, you know, he's tough.
Yeah.
And he gets started right off the bat. So there's a certain level in intensity that you got to be ready for. And like I said, I just don't think I was ready at the time. And it is what it is. You know, it was a learning experience and I'm glad I took it, you know, because I'm doing well now. So good things come from it.
100%. It's always where you go after a loss. So you've shown how you could rebound from that. You know, I lost my debut too. And one of the biggest things I noticed back then, because I fought on these little shitty events, and then you go, the biggest difference with these first-time jitters in the UFC, I think it's the production. I think it's that the big, not you being as nervous as other people around you of they have to get it started on time. Oh, all right, you're going in three, you're walking in. After the night, you're on and you'll be on in less than five and then you're walking in two and it's all, everybody's around you, cameras are in your face. That's what was a little bit different to me when I'm like, yo, I'm just used to fucking fighting somebody. What the fuck's going on? Like, you know what I mean? Like the whole, you know, to do around you is kind of wild.
Yeah, definitely. You know, walking out there, you know, saying you're up next, like you said, a camera on your face, ready to go. And it was, I think, the first ESPN card. So that was and that was the first fight on the ESPN card. So that was a little bit added pressure, I guess.
Yeah, whenever they say for anything, you're up next, It always, I would rather just have whatever it is, just start and just don't tell me it started until I start and I realize I'm in the middle of it. You don't want to, you're up next and you know, think of it and go, fuck, am I going to do a good job? Am I not going to do a good job? How did you handle it afterwards? After it happened, what was your thought process?
I mean, it is what it is, you know, I think that's what I was thinking. You know, I was able to, quit my full-time job after that. And, so I knew I was going to be training a lot more, being able to do 2-a-days more, and I actually just focused completely on MMA. So that's one thing I took from it and worked on some of my mistakes and just got ready for that next one.
What were you doing in your last day job?
I worked for Safelite Auto Glass. So I was changing windshields out here in about 110 degree weather.
You know? Oh, man.
But it wasn't fun.
Mario, don't you feel like you're just winning or not? You're just winning in life now. Doesn't that feel great?
Oh man, it's awesome, you know. And then my daughter was born right around the time as my debut, and so these past 4 years, man, I just got to spend the whole time with her. You know, each and every day, she's right here at practice with me. She's over there at the kids' corner. So,
that's fantastic.
It's been awesome, man. Bless you.
Oh, congrats! I got three boys, and they're always at my school, and that's so great. That's fantastic. I'm happy for you. That's good. You plan on having it anymore, or are you taking your time with that?
Oh no, I think I'm good with one. She has my hands full for sure.
That's so cute, man. So look, man, you look unscathed, man. Are you looking to get back in there soon or what?
I'm gonna look in October, you know.
Okay.
It was I wanted to get 4 fights in this year, but it's looking like it'll be 3, and I'm happy with 3. You know, I just wanted to stay busy these past couple of years. You know, I've had like 1 fight every year. You know, pandemic, the pec surgery. So I feel like I got some momentum going on this year.
Yeah, 3 fights is good, or 4 fights is a little bit much. What did Kevin Holland have last year? He didn't have 6, did he, in 2020? Am I crazy?
He did a lot, but I don't know when that was. I forgot.
The 2020. And then 2021, he lost 2, and then I think he's 2-0 in 2022. He's very...
Welterweight. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks good. He looks really good. Before we let you go, I know Sean is one of your teammates too. He has a great fight against Munoz coming up. We were talking about how accurate he is and how beautiful his striking is. And just his spin attacks are so nice to watch. What do you think he does against Munoz?
I think it's either going to be a quick night, you know, or it's just going to be, I think, a unanimous decision for Sean, you know. Munoz has like a lot of distance to make up. I don't think he's going to be able to touch him with the hands. And you know, like you said, Sean's so accurate. And I think a lot of people are surprised when they get in there with Sean. You know, he has that timing, the distance and the speed and accuracy as well. He'll hit you right in the lips. So I have Sean all the way for sure.
Okay. And you think you're not sure if he doesn't drop him very quickly, you think it's going to wind up grinding out into a decision?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Munoz, he's super tough and durable. So, and he stood there toe to toe with Cody, you know. So, like I said, it's either going to be a quick night on one, but it's going to be a long night for Munoz for sure.
Okay.
Well, shoot, man, you are entertaining as heck. And we can't wait to see you back again, dude. Striking.
Yeah.
Listen, you said you couldn't wait to, you and your coach, you were talking about like you wanted to show your jiu-jitsu in the UFC. I'm so happy you did, bro, because I was just sitting there. Ooh, I loved it. It was great, Jimmy. I love nice jiu-jitsu. Yeah. You know I do.
I know you do.
I don't watch jiu-jitsu competitions. I don't even watch it because, you know, it could be – it's cool. I love jiu-jitsu, but I like it used in combat. This morning, 7 a.m., I taught a Ashigarami entry, and the same reversal that I used and Damian Maya used on Ben Askren, a reversal of the Ashigarami. I don't know. Listen, I like the shit that's, you know, it's used on the highest level. And that's what Mario did the other day.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Congratulations, man. It was really, it was nice to see. It was really, really well done.
Oh, thank you guys. I really appreciate it. I like that Matt Serra electric jiu-jitsu. I'm going to show it off a little bit more, entertain everyone from Muay Thai lovers with the flying knees to the jiu-jitsu lovers with the rear naked chokes.
That's it, bro. That's it. Keep it going, man. Congrats again. And we can't wait. Listen, you have another fight. Come back on and promote it, man. Come back on here with us.
Oh, I'd love to, man. Thank you, guys.
Great talking to you, Mario.
All right, Mario.
Have a good one.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Before we wrap up, a couple of things. Thought yes. of you because I watched the video. It reminded me of what you did in Vegas. This was in I'm going to give the guy's name. It's a Chicago guy. He's a third degree Gracie black belt.
I see that.
Idris Redzovic, or sorry if I'm saying his name, Redzovic. He's got 22 years. He owns Supreme Academy of Jiu-Jitsu. It's in Lincoln Park. So let's give him a plug, because that guy held down some drunken asshole who I think of you, and you yes. say that there's some drunk.
Yes.
And the guy like was hitting on some girls, and then he threw a punch at a guy, whatever he did.
Yeah.
And this guy just held him down, put him in some kind of a move. What do they call it? Like a gift wrap?
Yeah, he had him gift wrapped. Yeah.
Now, could you do that to somebody if you had to?
Oh, Jimmy. It's basically like this. You just hold them the wrist and they're like this, like, hey, let me up.
What if they're strong?
Now you're being silly. Jimmy,
jiu-jitsu.
I explain to my guys all the time. You guys, with great power comes great responsibility. Okay? You got a responsibility. I like to make good people dangerous. I saw a clip on somebody filmed on a subway, a New York City subway, of some homeless guy. Looked out of his mind. And he sat, he was kicking things, and he sat next to some girls. The girl
I saw that.
He grabbed her by the hair.
Yeah.
She's looking now. Some moron's taping this, right? A lot of guys on this subway car. She's looking, she's saying, she's mouthing, help me, to this guy. The guy filming. The guy's just filming it now.
Yeah.
So then he got up with her. He walked toward her a little bit, let her go. After, you know, he made her walk around a little bit, and then he started kicking things and,
yeah, real dude, piece of shit.
Listen to me. He is a piece of shit. And if any one of my students were there, I guarantee that guy's sleeping. Because you know why? They know how they know they can defend themselves. They know somebody has to step up when something like that happens. You understand?
Yeah.
Like if that's happening there, that could have been my kids, my wife, my sister. If you see something like that and you got the ability, you got to step in. You have to. I tell my guys, look, you're going to see that. You're going to let that happen. Or you're going to step in and say, oh, excuse me. Try to pull my hair, motherfucker. I know I don't have hair, Jimmy.
Yeah, but you would have said something to him?
Jimmy, that's what I'm going to say to you. You know what's going on. I'm not up in here. Pick the wrong subway car. Dun, dun, dun. Jimmy, what would you do?
You always want other guys to. The only thing that's really terrifying, and I know you don't know it, is that there have been people who have been pulling out pistols and shooting
yes.
people.
Yes.
That's the scary part of anything like that. You figure a bunch of guys, if people just got together and swarmed, they would understand they could knock this guy out. But I think people are also afraid of either being bitten or being shot.
Yeah. He had a girl by the hair. So.
One hand is
what? So what? Yeah, but then he also had like a shirt over his head. You can see his waistband.
Yeah, I guess so.
My thing is this though. You know, everybody's afraid, Jimmy. What's the difference between a hero and a coward? What is the difference, Jimmy? Tell me the difference between a hero and a coward. Stop thinking of a joke. Look at you. I see you.
You're right. I was thinking of a joke and I couldn't.
You are.
I can't even tell you the difference between a coward and a comedian because I can't figure out the fucking the joke.
Customato, Mike Tyson's late great trainer, was such, he had such great sayings and
yeah
very inspirational.
Yes, he
and
was.
He would say there's nothing different. They're both afraid of getting hurt, both afraid of dying. But it's what the coward doesn't do that makes him a coward. It's what the hero does do that makes him a hero. God damn, Jimmy. Yeah. Hold on, Jimmy. I wish you were right there. Look at this. Look at that. My nipples are hot.
That's right.
Yeah. My fucking nipples are hot. Those fucking words, Jimmy. You don't think when I'm walking to that cage, I used to be like, man, I could get hurt, but I still march forward. You know that? You know now, what the fuck will do my head? That's not going through my head. I'm thinking that motherfucker in the cage with me is fucked because he's locked in there with me. And yep. I'm a fucking psychopath. That's what I'm fucking. He's got no, I don't got the problem. He's got the fucking problem. He has to deal with me. You understand?
So if I start taking jujitsu, yes. How long would it be if I went a couple times a week before yes. I could not kick that guy's ass, but before I could at least give a good showing?
Well, that guy?
Yeah.
Were you guy training? Like that. Yeah. 12 years.
All right. That's fair.
I'm fucking around. 12 months. Okay. Give me a year. Give me a year or less and you'll be able to defend yourself and defend other people. Yes, you will. You will at least tie him up and then the cop and yell for the cops. At least that would happen.
Now, yeah. So, yeah, just like Idris, again, I know I'm not saying his name right. Radzovic, again, Supreme Academy of Jiu-Jitsu in Lincoln Park. He's a third degree black belt. He is a fucking obviously handled himself effortlessly on the ground and could have strangled this guy and chose to handle it very humanely. Now, Matt, I know you're going in for surgery tomorrow. So we're going to see you next week, right? But just not, I'm only not going to see you tomorrow or Wednesday.
Well, I think we're off for the 4th of July.
Oh, right.
First, I'm not going to be the next episode. Jimmy, I know what you're thinking. Anything could happen during surgery. Stop, Jimmy, stop it. I'll be fine.
Yes.
Jimmy, don't get emotional in front of everybody.
Matt, I have no worries. Here's what I think.
You're worried something's going to happen to me?
No, I have total faith you're going to be fine. I think it's great that you're doing it. I think it's the smart move because I've walked with you. And it's hard for you to walk. And I know you want to have fun with your kids at Disney and exactly. Walk around. I know that's why you're doing it.
Would I be lazy if I still jump in one of those things?
No, because then you're protecting your new knees. But it's always nice if you have the knees when you need them. You don't want to be in pain just walking to the bus stop.
Jimmy, I am so with you. I'm so with you, and I'm getting it done. And then 3 months later, the other knee.
Good for you.
And then I will be Kimura X. You heard of Weapon X. You know who Weapon X is?
No.
You know who that is? That's Wolverine, Weapon X. I know I'm an adult. Sorry. So I will be Kimura X. Boo. No, listen to me. I will be Kimura Cyborg. Yay. I don't know. I'll come up with something. But yes. Jimmy. You know I love you, Jimmy. You don't got to say
And
that.
I love you, Matt. You're going to be fine.
I know.
By the end of the year, by the new year, both your knees will be taken care of and you'll be probably close to being completely done with any of this nonsense.
It's going to be great, Jimmy. I'm going to do the right thing and I'll be back on the mat, hopefully before you know it. Hey, man, I'm going to enjoy the rest of the day. I'm going to get mine in. I'm going to go back and teach the kids class because I got my three daughters training.
Oh, that's nice.
And I'm going to get a last rolls tonight for me. I'm going to train my ass off. And then tomorrow I go get a new knee.
Yep, and you'll be happy you did it. I guarantee you'll be happy you did it.
Fuck yeah, Jimmy. What do you want to plug?
Tomorrow night, this Wednesday, I will be, while Matt is relaxing at home, I will be on stage at the Fat Black Pussycat. And I have gigs coming up. I got December, the end of this month. The end of December, July. I'm going to be in Denver. I also, maybe I'll see Sanhagen when I'm out there. He's a fucking a Denver guy. And I have Rochester in August, and I just booked Rhode Island early September, and then I have Minneapolis in September. But come check me out. Matt, good luck, buddy. We'll talk hopefully talk to you on Wednesday or Thursday.
Jimmy, thank you so much. And congrats to Carlos Olberg. He was on the show last week.
Oh, he was great. Yeah.
Headlined the prelims. He looked fantastic. Tremendous.
Yeah.
A couple of names from there we already talked about. What's his name? Sarukin. You know,
Sarukin against Gamrot.
Gamrot, I'm on Sarukin. Great fight. Shazgat won the. He defeated Neil Magny, and I'll tell you right now.
Yes.
What's going on with that guy?
3 seconds left in the fucking second round.
I want to see what's going on with him because he looked fantastic.
Yes, he did.
No, it says right here 2 seconds.
Left. So, 2 seconds? Wow.
It said 4:58. So it was something insane. But that's how you know a choke's on. It's just that thing was, he had to tap.
Yes.
Josh Parisian, he won with a TKO in the second round. Thiago Moises. Yeah,
I thought it went a little longer than I thought it would, too, by the way, over Alan Bedeau.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you on that. Thiago Moises did a great rear naked choke. I love that choke. That was fucking beautiful. And what about, what do you call
it? Omar Nurmagomedov.
Yes. Habib was happy with that. Habib's cousin. Sure. He took care of Nate Maness and he did it handily, bro. I mean, shit was
30-27, 30-26, Matt, and 30-25.
I feel like we're getting a lot of new blood in the UFC. Like a lot of new fresh.
Great.
Like on this card alone, there's a lot of guys. I'm like, oh, am I not too familiar with this one? And I'm like, holy shit, man, where'd they come from? You know, and that goes for Mario too. He was fucking phenomenal. So, hey, brother, Jimmy, I'll check in with you in a few days.
Yeah, let me know you're okay, Matt. Good luck. And not that you need it. You'll be fine. And
thank you, brother.
The next time I talk to you, you have a shiny new knee and you'll be on the mend.
Yes, brother. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Unfiltered Army. I got your messages too. You're the best. I appreciate it.
All right, pal. I'll talk to you soon.
Love you, buddy. Bye, everyone.
I love you, Matt. Good luck.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.